Hey, guess what? The 2013 Max Fun Drive is just around the corner. Maybe you're already a devoted monthly member of Maximum Fun, or maybe you've never thought about donating before. Either way, tune in beginning April 1st. We'll be running some of our best shows of the year, doing awesome giveaways, and tempting you with thank you gifts like our all-new Intimate Sensations Pack.
Ew.
The Max Fun Drive starts April 1st and runs for just 2 weeks. Tune in, show your support, and catch the best episodes One Bad Mother has to offer.
This is Biz. I'm a stay-at-home mom with a preschooler.
And I'm Teresa, a working mom with a toddler.
This is a show about life after giving life. We all need a place to vent, so don't listen with your kids because there will be swears. This is One Bad Mother. So this week on One Bad Mother, we talk about labor pains and we aren't talking about childbirth. And we'll be speaking with comedian Carolyn Castiglia.
Yay!
Hello, Teresa.
Hi, Biz.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. But yeah, before we do anything, before we do anything, we got a comment call.
Ooh.
We don't even ask for those.
Yeah.
Somebody just took the initiative to give us some feedback.
Great. Fantastic.
So,
was it good feedback?
Hold on to your ego. Let's take a listen to that call.
Okay. Hi. Could you just mention that sometimes breastfeeding isn't that big of a deal? Because I went into it, everybody kept telling me that no one was telling me how hard it really is going to be.
Oh, and
that
it's, no.
This, you know, insurmountable, absolutely impossible task, but I had to do it anyway because it's best for him.
Oh.
And that it was going to be completely impossible, and there's all these support groups and lactation consultants.
I don't know what she's talking about.
And then I had my baby, and it was no problem whatsoever. I had no issues, and I just feel like no one really, like, I had never considered that it would not be hard. So I was just wondering if you could maybe mention that. It's just weird to me that no one mentioned the possibility that it would not be hard.
Okay.
All right.
Got it.
I got
all
it.
Right.
Yeah, all right. So.
Wow. Yeah. That's a really good point.
Whoops.
That's a really, really good
point. Yeah. Thank you for calling and pointing out that we may not have mentioned. And it's a very good point to mention. And maybe we should, every time we start talking about something that we find horrible, that maybe not everybody finds it so horrible.
Yeah, yeah,
so
maybe there is something wrong with us.
the long game question that we're trying to answer.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
So
score one for the
calling.
Listeners. Yeah,
yeah,
thanks very much. And we do encourage you to remind us that there may be stuff we're leaving out. And we encourage you to do it like that lovely caller and do it nicely.
Yeah, it's a nice way.
Because we're fragile. So, Teresa, how are you? Today is.
I'm good. Today's my birthday.
It's your birthday.
Woohoo.
How are you handling it?
Fine. I like my birthday. I mean, I'm not like one of those people who's like, oh, my birthday has to be really perfect and it's all built up and people better come through for me on this day. Like, I just, as I've gotten older, my birthday has become much less important to me.
Oh, question.
What?
That I just had right now.
Yeah.
When you had Simon,
mm-hmm.
did the birthday for you change? Did it become like, my birthday is not
so.
As important. Or...
I think it did. I think that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's been happening gradually, anyhow.
Mm.
But I'm definitely, at least right now, when he's so little, his birthday definitely seems way more exciting and special and important to me than my birthday.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very much like, fuck it. Stephanie's like, do you want to do anything special? And I'm like, I just don't want to plan anything.
Yeah.
Like, why do I? I don't like just if you would like, and out of the blue, finally a couple of weeks ago, he was like, would you want a surprise something? Yes, I would want a surprise something. I have to plan everything. I don't want to plan my own party. Did you do anything special? You do anything? Are you going to do anything special? Or are you guys just going to hang out with the baby?
Well, Jesse cooked really nice dinners for the last two nights in a row. So
ooh.
I think that was my sort of like our little birthday celebration.
Oh, that's very good.
It was really nice. Yeah. And we went for a walk this morning and came in to work late. So that was really nice, too.
Well, I want to point out that like on our very one of our earliest episodes, we had talked about when I was talking about trying to get pregnant again, and I mentioned my age mm-hmm. and that I was 39, and then
which really surprised me.
Which surprised her. I know. I am so youthful.
You are youthful. I was pretty sure you were about 36.
Well, I wear a lot of baseball
actually,
hats.
Actually, maybe 35.
Yeah, well, I could do 35. I'm sure I could pull that off. Uh-huh. We realized later that we never said how old Teresa was, and I didn't think that was fair, which led to the really awkward discussion where Teresa corners me and says, well, how old do you think I am? And I just, right off my tongue, 36.
And I was like, what?
Apparently, that's not true, because while it's great that she thought I was 36, it apparently doesn't work the opposite
way. Yeah, I was 31.
31, so she's turning 32. So I'm like, I wish I had ever thought to ask that before we had that whole discussion on pregnancy. It's going to be so easy for you. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, Biz replied, when I said I was 31, she said, fuck you. You can have five babies.
We are so healthy. So for all our listeners, now you know everything.
Everything.
I don't know if there's anything else that exciting going on. Well, speaking of trying to have babies, we clearly Team Ellis over here.
Are you gearing up for another big push?
We're in the middle of it. Clearly, it didn't work last time. So we're in the push week right now. We're in that go try and have sex every day week, which I only bring up because we have a house guest.
Ooh. And you have kind of a small house.
Oh, yeah,
too.
We have a very small house. And we have a house guest. And so the only time, because, you know, I think we mentioned this, you know, everybody's got their peak time of day where they're really good. And guess who usually has to sacrifice that peak time of day? And that would be the lady, mm-hmm. the woman. Mm-hmm. So we have to get it done while everybody's still asleep in the house guest and the child.
Oh, like first thing in the morning.
So it's like 6 a.m.
Oh,
sex. Every day.
Do you set an alarm for that?
Stefan's just recently been waking up early. He's just like finally adjusted. Yeah, I don't know. He's just shifted.
All right.
He had a shift. He had a time shift.
Okay. But, he's becoming an old man.
He is. Well, I, on the other hand, finally am allowing myself to sleep. So it is not a peak time for me. But
you can kind of sleep through it.
We're giving
it. Make him do the
it's
work.
Like, once again, no performance pressure on my husband for me just to sleep through it.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should shift on to our topic of the week.
Let's do it.
I think we should.
Please take a moment to remember, if you're friends of the hosts of One Bad Mother, you should assume that when we talk about other moms, we're talking about you.
If you are married to the host of One Bad Mother, we definitely are talking about you.
Nothing we say constitutes professional parenting advice.
Biz and Teresa's children are brilliant, lovely, and exceedingly extraordinary.
Nothing said on this podcast about them implies otherwise.
Okay, Teresa, mm-hmm. last weekend, we took Katie Bell to a birthday party. Mm-hmm. And Stefan, the party, this is not like random preschooler friend party. This is really good friends of Stefan and I both.
Oh.
They have kids that are about Katie Bell's age. It's their party. We go. 60% of the people there are our friends from years and years. Everybody's kind of got a kid or whatever. We get there. We enter together as a family unit, and within 10 minutes, I lose Stefan. He's just gone. He's just, like, out, hanging out, mm-hmm. talking to our friends in a totally other part of the party.
And where's your daughter?
With me.
Oh.
Well, and following the Cinderella, like, look-alike hire around a lot. Uh-huh. But, like, there's got to be, like, one there, you know, somewhere in the vicinity. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the kind of party where everybody's kind of lets their kids, like, roam and stuff, but... Mm-hmm. You know, you still got to keep, like, one eye.
Right.
And so we are...
Let's remind people, Katie Bell is three and a half.
Katie Bell's 3.5. So not only do you have to keep the one eye, but she's, like, also... She wants to share with you everything she's experiencing.
Right.
She doesn't want to go play by herself. She wants you to see Cinderella. She wants you to see the dress. She wants you to see all this stuff.
And I assume these aren't... Since they're your friends, you're and Stefan's friends, they're not, like, preschool friends who she's used to seeing every day.
Yeah, no, so she doesn't know the kids either.
Right.
So it's like she really wants to be with one of us.
Right.
And... I couldn't believe it. Every time we go to a party or we go to a house or we do anything like this, we come home and I say, dude, what is up? I already have a hard enough time feeling like I don't know how to talk with our friends anymore. And now that I finally have something to talk about, I can't because I'm moving nonstop after her. And you are just sitting there end up like leaning against a car, drinking a beer, shooting the shit, dick. Mm-hmm. What is that about? Like, not that you don't deserve to like have the conversation, but the complete abandonment is what pissed me off. Like, never once did he rope tape back in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and we even like went up and we're like, hi, how's it going? He's like, great.
I'm having a great time.
I'm having a great time. And like, you don't want to say anything in front of Katie Bell because you don't want her to think that like it's a chore being with her.
Right.
But it just came down to that, like, why do you think it's okay for you to step out of the parenting role at this party and I have to take the lead? Like, it really pissed me off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like, I think it's a good segue into what we want to talk about today, which is division of labor. You know, like, how do you divide it up? Like, once you take work out of the equation, because everybody's got to work, everybody's got that one thing that they're doing, you know, how do you divide up? Like, what needs to be done in terms of childcare? What needs to be done in terms of, like, house care? What needs to be done in terms of errands and running, like, general maintenance of your lives with each other? And so that you still have some time for yourselves or even for yourself. How do you divide that up? How do you figure that out?
And I think another part of that is not just how it's divided, but how you can set it up so that it isn't just a continuous negotiation. Like,
right.
You could have gone up to him and said, okay, your turn, you know, I'm going to go do this for 20 minutes.
Right.
But you're probably pissed off enough that you just wanted
him
to, like, you want some kind of established set of rules, like,
right,
where like you don't constantly have to ask, like, reassess.
Right. Like, I wasn't like punishing myself by staying with Katie Bell. I was having a nice time with Katie Bell. It was just sort of like, you know, you kind of catch on like 30 minutes into the party, and we're only there for like an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like 30 minutes in, you're like, oh, wait a second.
Yeah.
And you know, and then we'll talk about, like, what do you do to yourself in terms of this labor negotiation? Like, you know, how do you sabotage yourself? But I think it's, like, important to focus on, like, the different approaches to helping each other and mm-hmm. to asking for help and to getting the negotiation started on breaking up the tasks. And, like I think a good example is it took us forever to figure out that Stefan and I had a totally different definition of clean.
Mm.
Like, and to Stefan, if I said, hey, I'm running to the store, could you just, like, clean the kitchen? And I'll be back. That'd be really helpful so I can come in with the groceries and put them away. That'd be awesome if you've got time today.
Mm-hmm.
And I come in, and it looks like nothing is different than when I left. Like he's still just kind of, like, washing a glass in the sink. And I'm like, what? I thought you were going to clean it. And he's like, I did. His definition of cleaning is decluttering, like straightening.
Uh-huh.
My definition of cleaning is wiping down the countertops, cleaning out the sink, you know. Like a more, I see the dirt, the spaghetti rolling down the countertop off onto the cabinet, off onto the dishwasher that needs to be wipped off. And he just sees the coffee cup needs to be put in the dishwasher. Like, and I was like, oh, I get it. I'm better. But what do you guys do? What do you and Jesse do? How do you do this?
Oh, well, that's such an interesting question. For us, in terms of, like, approaching the labor negotiation, we actually figured out, we had, like, a major breakthrough when Simon was, like, 8 months old. And it's kind of amazing because Jesse and I have been together since we were 17.
Amazing that it took us this. I could do a whole show on that.
Oh, well, yeah, we could talk about that. But the fact that we didn't figure this out until it took having a baby and that level of stress, like, to figure this out, which is that Jesse was raised in a household where, like, you really just had to advocate for yourself and fight for what you needed help with and fight for what your preferences were. And I was raised in a household where everybody was constantly trying to do things for each other. And so you could always just expect somebody to come through for you because you were always supposed to be paying it. Like, you were always supposed to be doing something for the other people and, like, sacrificing your own needs. And everybody was constantly doing that for one another. And this, obviously, when Jesse and I get paired together, leads to, like, a very lopsided dynamic where he's being very straightforward and upfront about what he needs.
Right.
And I'm constantly trying to help him get what he needs. Which is, like, again, pretty amazing that it took us, like, whatever. I don't even know.
Well, it's pretty amazing that with that dynamic, you guys lasted since you were 17 years old. I mean, that's a crazy dynamic.
Well, we really like each other.
Well, that's, I know. And that's important. And that's probably the anchor of every discussion we ever have.
But yeah, when Simon was 8 months old, this like, occurred to me. And I was like,
it's some delusional midnight state.
Yeah. Like, I was like, he just needs me to tell him what I want him to do, and then he will happily do it. Like, he's like, I'm sitting here going, like, why isn't he helping with this? Or why isn't he thinking of me with this? Like, why isn't he just, like, thinking of what I need or asking me what I need? No, I just need to say, like, I need you to do this, this, and this. And he was like, great. Like, he was, like, so relieved to have somebody say, like, straight up, this is what I need.
Right.
And so that for us has been like the major thing that we've done that actually works, where I just have to like kind of realize, I'm sitting around waiting for him to do something. No, I need to just tell him to do it. And then he will do it.
It's interesting. It's like, what do you each bring? Like, how do you each like live? How did you live your lives before you got together? And then once you got together, how does that? That's interesting because people do take different approaches. It is the old, you know, not both people will never both be the cleaners or the cookers.
It's never like that. Why is it never like that?
Because you'd kill each other. It's something else horrible would happen. Yeah. But you brought up an interesting point about the whole mind reading thing, or like I call it the mind reading thing, because you get going, and especially if you're a giver, you get going, and like suddenly you're doing everything, and you're like, I don't understand why you don't know that I need you to take the fucking trash out.
Mm-hmm.
It's sitting here, I'm looking at it, you're looking at it. Like, you know, like my Jedi mind, take the trash out. Don't you understand? You know, and like, I think there's, for me, the problem was I am, if it hasn't come across in the show yet, I'm kind of a control freak. And not control freak, I like to get things done and I probably do them best. So for us, one of the, like, there's the mind reading aspect that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the...
Or the lack of mind
the
reading.
The lack of mind reading that's happening.
The expectation of mind reading.
But, you know, that, but like, that seeps out. Like, even in old relationships and stuff, people are like, why won't he ever take me out to a nice... Why didn't you tell him to take you out?
You
just fucking tell him.
Yeah. If you tell him once a week for a few months, he's going to start picking up on it.
Probably going to do it. But then there's my need to, like, to do it. Like, I have a need to do it, and then I keep...
A need to do it yourself.
Yeah, and I just keep doing it, so I don't ask for help, because asking for help is, for me, a reflection that I can't... I'm failing somehow. That, like, if I ask you to take the trash out, then I'm not doing my job. Like, great example. You know, we're going to do a whole episode on stay at home and, you know, working and all those things, but when... I chose to stay at home, and once I got kind of over the whole psychological adjustment to that, you know, the house is my job.
Right.
And I signed up for that. Yeah. I wanted to do that job, and it is my job. If I think the fucking spice rack is a disaster, it is my job to clean that shit out and make it look right. And I am really good at my job. But when I was an executive assistant, I knew exactly what my roles were. They were clearly defined. And my boss was never going to come and leave me an extra mess on top of, you know, like me making sure that my coworkers or even my boss or even my other assistant didn't just add to my mess or make my life harder to get my job done was totally acceptable. But at home, suddenly it's like, if I ask him to take the fucking trash out, then it just shows I can't do my job, which is totally weird. Mm-hmm. But
go on.
Yeah. No. So like. I began putting myself in a situation where I wasn't even letting him help.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you what, when people don't let you help, you know what most people do? Great.
They don't help.
They sit around and read a magazine. And then you're like, you're reading a magazine. Why are you doing that? I want to read a magazine. Fuck you. You know, it's like, you have all this time to read a magazine. And I'm sitting here like, you know, it's so like, it was like that breakthrough of, you don't know that I want you to do it, the mind reading. B, you know, I'm not going to play like some stupid game where I'm like, fine, I'm just not going to do it. and then they'll just do it.
Because
they won't. That never works. That won't. And C, I got to ask for it. And it's not a reflection of me not being able to do my job. Mm-hmm. You know, it actually makes life easier and better. Because I got myself into such a state that I was constantly stressed out. And I was just yelling at him all the time. And, you know, and that's not good. And like, how much does the gender role thing tie into this? Because I know for me, I'm like, well, I'm a woman. Am I, you know, like, is that a bad thing that I want to clean the house and that I want to take care of the house? Is that like, am I setting a horrible example for my daughter, my feminist sisters, and my, you know, like.
Well, that's interesting, too, because I think there must be something. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you're staying at home, I'm assuming there must be something where, yeah, you do see it as your job, and
right.
your home is like your, you know, that's your responsibility,
right.
and you're taking care of all of it. But then, like maybe the feminist part of you is like, he needs to help. But then you're like, but does he need to help? Because
right.
he's working, and this is
he's working.
My,
yeah,
like the house is my job. Like that must get very confusing.
Yeah, because it's not like he's just like, you know, leaving beer cans. I came in from work and I'm leaving beer cans all over the house and like my dirty socks are all on the floor. Like he's a neat guy. Like he, you know, picks up after himself and he totally participates in like the roles of the house. It was just for me getting to a point where I, you know, like I was for some reason I was at the grocery store like every day. Like how am I at the grocery store every day? And like how am I constantly cleaning this bathroom every day? Like it's not like what is going on? And like by the end of the day I'm having no time for myself, which is why the magazine becomes such a big deal, because it's like by the time it's 9 o'clock at night I'm ready to sleep and I'm still working on something, and it's not something I want to be working on, you know, personally. And so, you know, for us it was sort of the same thing that you were saying. It came time to sit down and talk about define, like, saying my needs. I don't need him to clean the whole house.
Right.
I need you to, every morning, take all the trash out, clean the cat boxes, and make the bed.
That's it.
That's it.
Mm, yeah.
The end result is you want to be able to do all the things that you need to do during the day, and you want to have a healthy relationship between you and your partner, but you also want to have some time for yourself. And there's nothing, and I used to think there was something wrong for wanting that. And now I'm like, fuck it. I totally deserve some time for myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you figured out a way to have, so with Stefan doing the bed and the cat boxes?
That's a big
trash,
help. So that's like our big thing. So what we do now, this is how we get through it. This is what works for us currently. And it took us, like you said, for you guys, it took us after Katie Bell. It all seems to come to play when you have the kid, because there are these new added responsibilities, and most of them are falling on you as the feeder, as the, you know, the person who's providing, you know, if you're breastfeeding, if you're doing whatever.
But then they have the added like financial burden,
and they have the too. Well, that's true. But the babies don't cost that much at the beginning. They just, you know.
But if you're not working,
but if I'm not working,
like I was working less.
Yeah, I was working less. At
I know
the time.
Jesse felt more pressure.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
I think a lot of families, even if the mom isn't just, like, going to stay home, I think a lot of
there's
families,
still a new financial.
The other partner feels more pressure financially.
Right.
Like, their job becomes more important or,
yeah, I
know.
Just think I totally ignored that. I think I was just an asshole. Where as long as we both understand that it's hard for both of us, but slightly harder for me.
I know, right?
Fine.
I know.
That's so dumb. But it does feel like that sometimes. Anyway, totally different discussion. So for us, what works is, one, we have a touch base, like on Sunday night, like what's the week? Because he freelances, and so his week changes every week. There are some weeks where he may be in an office every day. There may be weeks where he's got networking or, social work-related events that happen at night. There may be stuff where he's gone, like, first thing in the morning. Like, it's different every week. But if he's got like a light week, then I know that we can shift some stuff. But if he's got a heavy week, then I take on more stuff, and I'm not going to freak out if the bed wasn't made. You know what I mean? Like, once we clearly said to each other, I'm not getting enough time, and it's making me crazy. And he says, okay, how can I help you get more time? And I allowed myself to be clear with what I wanted, not vague clean up the house.
Right.
Like, we've already learned that that doesn't work. You can't be vague. Mm-hmm. You need to decide what are the specific things. And then he tells me his specific things. Fine. That's great. I want to make sure, well, he doesn't have specific things. He just happily flows through life. He's just such an easygoing guy. But, and we're prepared for the fact that the roles may shift week to week. And that seems to work for us. Like, and, you know, you keep a sense of humor. And at the core, like you said, I think it's there is liking each other and understanding that not one person really has it worse. You know, mm-hmm. like, if, like they literally pulled up from being gone all day last night. And I'm out grilling the dinner because I know they're about to come mm-hmm. home. And they pull up and, like, Katie Bell really wants to tell me a story when she gets out of the car. I know that chicken is about to burn if it needs to be flipped. Right. I can say to Stefan, hey, can you please flip the chicken while listening to her?
Yeah.
And he's not like, I just got out of the car.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's like, all right, let's go flip the chicken.
That's awesome.
You know, like, there's no, it's not.
You're
like,
on the same team.
We're on the same team. Yeah. And that's, like, once you get your head around we're on the same team, everything else kind of, yeah. shakes out.
But what I think the birthday party story that you told,
which
right
is
off
why
the bat,
it's so surprising.
Like, well, no, but I think it's also it's one of those things where when stuff is out of the ordinary, like that's where it all crumbles. Like when you can't, when you're not just in your normal routine, like something is probably going to go wrong, and like it's nobody's fault necessarily. It's obviously Stefan's fault.
Well, Stefan's fault.
But
No, but
you know what I mean. Like, you can't anticipate every circumstance that you're going to be in. And, like, you're constantly kind of learning. And
well, right. I mean, like, because I do think it's easy to just, you know, as dumb as it is, like, I think there are some of us who are just constantly, like, working and thinking about the thing. And then there are others who are, like, really happy that there are other people out there thinking and working the whole time. And, you know, and if you get paired up with that, then as the thinker worker, it's really about you adjusting. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's about you being very clear. They're not going to change. Mm-hmm. It's got to be you that adjusts your vision of what the world is. But how do you guys make it work? How do you guys make it work? Because you're both working.
Yeah. So, well, we're both working. I think the best way I can describe what works for us is sort of like I am the boss of being the mom of the house and Jesse is the boss of our business. Huh. And I think it's a little bit different than couples who maybe both work outside the home at separate jobs. For Jesse and I, because we work together and we have a family together, in a way it kind of balances out because although we both really support each other and help each other in both situations, I think personally for us that the only way that works is to have one person who's ultimately responsible for one area and one person ultimately responsible for the other, because otherwise you're just constantly having to ask the question of, well, who's going to take the lead on this or who's going to make the decision on this? And sometimes you don't even have time to have a discussion.
Yeah.
Just a decision needs to be made and go forward. And so it's interesting because I have often asked myself, like, whether there's something wrong with this. Like, I think it does work for us. And we did fall into it kind of naturally. Like, Maximum Fun was his business. It's something he created. He naturally is the leader of that.
And you created Simon with your body.
No, but I mean, I think, like, I mean... it's so crappy.
I'll make it easier
for
you. I'm going to judge you.
All right.
Okay?
Thank you.
You have just set back the feminist movement.
I know.
Like,
thank you.
Hundreds of years.
I feel like I was born to be a mom. Does that make it even better?
Oh, it's so bad because
it's
horrible. Think I was too.
I know. It's horrible.
It's like, I'm sorry.
So we broke the studio.
Yep, we broke the studio. Sorry, guys. We broke the studio with that amazing decision, that amazing self-awareness that we like being moms. Oh, God, help us. Isn't that weird? Because, like, there is, and this may not be true for everybody, but there is that question of, am I, like, altering the course of time for everybody by putting my apron on every day? Because let me tell you, if you do not have an apron, you need it because it is fucking
great. Oh, I've
great.
Been totally using that.
I highly recommend the apron because it's got pockets, and pockets are amazing. Yeah. And then you're not wiping shit on your pants all the time.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything unfeminist about liking pockets.
Yeah.
It is my tool belt.
Yeah.
That said,
the apron is really awesome.
That said,
you know
is,
what? I don't
is,
think we're I don't think we're special enough to be altering life for the masses.
Well, now you're altering my opinion of myself. No,
but you know what I mean? Like, I don't think.
I agree. I love how you put it. I'm the boss of, you know, child and family, and he's the boss of work, though it is totally symbiotic.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't work if it wasn't. There wasn't some symbiotic relationship in there, and there wasn't the trust that you both can do it.
Right, but it's interesting because I'm curious how people do it in two-parent families where both parents work. I assume that it really must require a lot more negotiation about what goes on at home and who, like how the labor is divided at home when you have both parents, like where, you know, I can be more flexible with my schedule because my boss is Jesse. And if I'm leaving because I'm going to do something for Simon, it's like fine with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a really unique situation. Both of us have a unique situation.
Yeah.
While, you know,
and I realize that's really unrealistic.
Really unrealistic for a lot of people because if you're both working 9-to-5 jobs or 8-to-5 jobs or 8-to-7 jobs or 8-to, you know.
Yeah. Then who needs to cook dinner? And
who's cooking dinner? Who's running the grocery? You know, and I think just no matter what the situation, the core goes back. It goes back to open discussion, not letting it get to the point where both people are just pissed that the other one doesn't know that they're pissed.
Right.
You got to be, you know, I had a friend who was like, you guys talk about a lot of stuff. And I was like, but it was Stefan and I. And I was like, well, if we didn't, it wouldn't be this great.
Yeah.
Because we tried the not talking about it and it was awful.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care how uncomfortable it is. You got to say, I'm not happy because this is happening. How can we, I'm not happy. The end.
Right.
I'm not happy. How do we fix this? How do we fix this so that we can both live this life that we're trying to have? Oh. I don't know. I need to go make a cake or something.
Yeah, let's go bake some cakes.
Let's go bake some cakes. Did we, like, resolve it? I don't think we resolved anything.
I don't think we've resolved
it. I don't think we did. But I think it's just about setting the standards of what really needs to be done versus what you will make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
We actually are going to have a guest on today who is a single mom, and hopefully she can help us talk a little bit more about that.
And understand why we're totally spoiled assholes.
Oh, what a bunch of dicks. My favorite cocktail is at 4 o'clock. So
go easy on yourself.
Go easy on yourself. You're doing
great. And your
great.
Partner.
And your partner. All right, well, you're listening to One Bad Mother, and we're going to be right back with our genius and fail moments and our guest, Caroline Castiglia.
Hi, everybody. This is Justin McElroy, and in the rich fiction we just created, the hosts of this podcast have gone for a little pee break.
Hi, I'm Travis McElroy. Quick, while they're not looking, slip our comedy in.
I'm Griffin McElroy, the baby brother, and stop, I'm the police. What are we doing?
This is my brother and me, where we take questions and turn them into wisdom. And make fun of you.
We make fun with you?
We make fun with you because English is our second language.
Well, now it's getting racist. We literally had 25 seconds and we did racist with it.
So wait till you see what we can do with a whole hour on my brother and me.
We're brothers.
We're experts. And we're sorry.
Hey, you know what it's time for? This week's Genius and Fails. This is the part of the show where we share our genius moment of the week, as well as our failures, and feel better about ourselves by hearing yours. You can share some of your own by calling 206-350-9485. That's 206-350-9485.
All right, genius moment time.
Yay!
Yay! And as always, like we just said, you can call and leave your own genius moment or fail moment.
And you should.
And you should, especially those genius moments, ladies.
Yeah, give yourselves a pat on the back for once.
Or man. We'll take your genius. We'll take anybody's genius moment.
Sure.
We all need to be inspired. 206-350-9485. Teresa.
Yes?
What is your genius moment?
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I saw what you did.
did.
Oh my God.
I'm paying attention.
Wow.
You, Mom, are a genius.
Oh my God, that's fucking genius.
Well, I have learned that I can use Skype to allow my parents to entertain my child while I take a break.
I thought that was going to be different. I thought it was going to be like, I use Skype, so my parents have a relationship with my child.
Nope. No.
They can entertain my... Oh.
Yeah. He knows them really well and really likes talking to them on Skype.
Right.
And he wants to do it, like, every day. And, like, my parents, they miss him and they, you know, they live miles and miles away. So they're pretty much always down to do it. And so I set it up, like, where he's in the high chair.
That's right, because your child is, just to remind everybody.
He likes to touch the buttons.
He's, like, how old? He's,
like 19 months. Yeah.
Right.
So he wants to touch the computer. But I put it up on the counter. I put him in his... Parents read books to him on Skype, and I kind of like, I mean, it lasts like 10 or 15 minutes. It's not like hours or something.
No, but that equates to hours.
But you step away, you know, step away. I mean, I'm there, but I kind of just let them lead it, and he's totally engaged. He's having a great time. I can, like, check my email, like, have a snack, like,
holy
sit down.
Shit. That is genius,
Thank
Teresa.
You.
That is genius.
Thanks.
That's really good.
What do you got?
Well, I think I'm going to try and top it. I realized that I had never shared with you one finger touch. And
yeah,
one finger
is
touch is an approach to life with a child, taking them anywhere or being anywhere, any age, you can do this. From the moment they're born, Katie Bell is allowed to touch anything with one finger.
Ooh.
So, like, let's say we go into a shop. You know, and kids just grow up for grabbing. One finger touch. And she can touch it, because that's not going to break it.
Right.
You know, I mean, you gotta, unless you have a kid whose one finger touch is a poke.
Right. A poke, yeah.
This way you don't, you know, I am totally fine telling my child no. So this is not like part of some weird parenting thing of like, never tell your child no. Mm-hmm. And I tell her no all the time. But we have just found that it has led to less freaking out in stores, breaking things in stores, things going crazy in stores. Or we go to the grandparents' house. She wants to touch the really nice stuff. One finger touch. Flea market, one finger touch. You know, like, there's nothing she can't touch. And I think it's like, I don't know, it's just been life-changing. My
That's
cousin
great.
Did it with her kids, and when I heard it, like, when I was 18, I was like, that's genius. File that away.
Yeah.
And it has been a complete success. Let's hear what some of our listeners did this week.
Hi, I'm a mother of three. My oldest is six, my middle is four, and my youngest is two, almost I'm going to say genius moment, but it's more my child's genius moment. It's about a couple days ago, and normally I bring them home something, and it's always, oh, I only have this. But I brought my daughter home a book, and I was so shocked by her response. I was, Mom, I really appreciate that you bought me this, but I'm just not interested in it. I was shocked, but honestly so proud because I didn't hear whining. And I felt amazed.
Yay.
Yay. So she brings her daughter, she brings her kids home stuff every time, and they always like throw a fucking fit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
That's really cute.
So, you know, I know she says it's her kid's genius moment, but you know me.
Oh,
it's you.
It's definitely
it's
you.
You did that.
Good job, Mom.
Good job, Mom. Oh, let's just make ourselves feel like shit again. let's do it.
Fail.
You suck.
All right.
I finally did it. I poured milk into the coffee pot. Think instead of water?
Oh.
Instead of the water, because we have a Brita, you know, like pitcher. And they just sit right next to each other. And I usually catch myself because, you know, my brain is so, I just did it. I just milk. And then you're like, fuck. I don't want to talk about it. What's yours?
Okay.
That's
All
my
right.
fail. What's
Fine.
Yours?
I inadvertently made a game out of Simon running full speed towards like a big drop off in our backyard. Like, you know that thing where your kid is doing something that they're not supposed to do and you're laughing for some
right.
reason and you really know you can't be laughing.
Right.
And you're really trying hard not to laugh, but you can't stop yourself. And so now he thinks we have this kind of treacherous backyard with like lots of weird cliffs and stairs and cement and like broken
It's a death trap for children.
It's basically a death trap. And so that's why we hang out there and run around.
Your whole living experience is a fail.
Yeah, exactly. and so now he gets this little look on his face, looks at me with this little grin and runs full speed towards us. And he stops at the bottom, But, like, you know, he's not a super, I mean, he's not super coordinated yet. He's not even two years old. So it's terrifying for me every time. And I can't run after him because I'm afraid that's going to make it worse.
Yeah. Well, we won't be coming over for cocktails later.
No.
Awesome. Let's hear it. Let's please, please outfail us.
Yes, please.
So I'm sharing my genius and fail moments for the week. My genius moment, or actually moments, is I'm hosting a baby shower and my child's second birthday in the same week this week. And I also managed to schedule three preschool tours over the next 3 weeks as well, including research and all that fun stuff that goes into it. So I was feeling like I had it all handled and like a rock star until my fail moment today when all the stress hit me and I'm now sitting on the couch feeding my child cookies and giving her Elmo so I can eat M&Ms and sit quietly for 20 minutes. Thank you.
That's kind of a double. I know. We put that in the fail section because it led to the fail.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty deserved fail is pumping your kid full of cookies and TV so you can take a break.
Yeah.
It's one of those mornings where my alarm didn't go off, so I slept in, and I forgot to empty the lunch pail to the kids, and when I opened it, there was yogurt exploded all inside. I've been rushing to get them to get dressed. We have 5 minutes to catch the bus. I look at my son. He's completely naked. I'm trying to get them to eat. It's just one thing after the other, and my stress is just rocketing. I open the fridge, and the side of the fridge completely breaks and everything comes flying out of it. And all I could do was scream. I'm pretty sure that if anyone could hear me, they sounded like I was being murdered. And my children were terrified. But at that moment, it was the only thing I could do. So there's my fail for the day. Have a great one, guys. Bye.
Oh, I love her.
I do too.
Wow.
I do too.
That is so unexpected, too.
I know.
That's like not where you think this is headed. Like, what?
Well, that's like the way, because it is. You're like, oh, your day is so stressful.
Yeah.
And then to have your entire side of your fridge collapse on you is just... That's where you're like, pack it up.
Yeah, you're
pack
like...
Pack it up. We're going to the beach or something.
This
just pack
day
it up.
Is
the day's
not,
done.
Yeah.
Fuck this. We're done. Well, thank you so much for leaving us those.
Yes,
we do love them. You always are helping me and Teresa and every other listener out there. So do call. Be a part of the show. 206-350-9485.
You are the greatest mom I've ever known. I love you. I love you. When I have a problem, I call you on the phone.
You know what, Teresa? I think it's time to call a mom.
All right.
Let's call a mom.
Great.
Sound a little more enthusiastic, Teresa.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you. This week, we are talking to Carolyn Castiglia. She's a stand-up comedian living in New York City and a daily contributor to Babbel.com. And you can see her on Nick Mom every night. Hello, Carolyn.
Hi, Biz.
Hi. And this is Teresa. Teresa, Carolyn, Carolyn, Teresa.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Teresa. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I will try not to be hostile towards you, even though you have the same name as my mother.
Ah! Ooh.
Yikes.
Call's over.
Right. I'm sorry. I need a few more years of therapy before we can do this podcast. Goodbye.
Do you want to, like, do any role playing where we work through some stuff?
The last time I did role playing, it resulted in a breakup.
Let's just get personal. Let's get personal and intimate. First, what's your family? There's somebody out there who's got it, no matter what you say, is going to be like, I have it way worse. So let's make them feel good about themselves. And I want you to tell us you got kids? How many? How many husbands? How many, you know, moms? How many, whatever, wives, whatever?
Well,
let's make everybody feel better.
Who lives in your house?
Who lives? Oh, that's such a nicer way to ask it. Who lives in your house?
I have one child and one dog.
How old is your daughter now?
My daughter is 7. I know. That went by fast.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
And my dog is 5, but I just adopted him. And so I feel like I had a second child. Like, he has potty accidents.
Oh,
I'm just like, I tell my daughter all the time, I'm like, I've been cleaning up piss and shit for 7 years.
Oh, that makes me feel a lot better that there's other people out there who think of their dogs kind of like almost, they're like 2/3 of a child.
Yeah, exactly. They really are. Yeah. Like,
But you are, we introduced you earlier as this, so you better live up to it. You are single mom.
I am.
Awesome.
Do you have any single dad listeners?
As a matter of fact, we do.
In the New York metro area?
I don't know if they're in the New York metro area, but I've had a few who've written already. So we do have a few out there.
Should we start that as a service?
Should
like
we?
A love connection
you
service
should,
for single parents?
Can I put in requests? Like, you have to not mind cleaning up piss and shit. Obviously,
right.
We've gone over that already.
Well, if you are a single dad, you're probably doing
you're
that
probably
a lot already.
Doing that,
so
yeah.
Again, your expectations of home life are pretty much established too.
At this point, I just want a man for sex and lifting stuff.
Well, today we are talking about division of labor. Well, Carolyn, we always ask everybody who comes on the show, what did you think like having a child would be like? Like, what did you think it was going to be like versus what you experienced? Like, what it actually was for you? And you've got a 7-year-old. A lot of the moms we talk to are right out the gate. You know, they've got the 1-year-old, so they're just talking sleep deprivation. So I'd love to hear what you have on this.
Well, you know, I don't know that I had a ton of expectations that were based in any kind of reality, you know. Like, I think when I dreamed about being a mother, I didn't think about like the day-to-day tasks of motherhood. Like, my fantasies of motherhood were like, she's gonna be so beautiful and we're gonna walk down the street together in matching coats and go shopping, you know what I mean? Like, I think I was really into the whole like how much I was gonna love my daughter and like bond with my daughter, and not like, oh my gosh, she's my best friend, but like you know, just like really spend time together. And this was, you know, and I was going to be this like beautifully accessible role model for her. And she was going to look at me with that angelic glow and just tilt her head to the side and go, Mom, you know, like, I was like, this is this great thing. And then like the reality of it is you're just like, I'm fucking cleaning shit up and feeding you and you're hungry again and now I'm cleaning again. And like, that's basically, that's the whole thing, is you're just like, you just fucking ate, you know? And like, it's not just mundane, because like that would be bad, but it's like mundane chaos.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like the same shit over and over, and it's really little, simple, insignificant shit, but it's just like constant, like, you know, something spilled. Oh my God, you just shit your pants. Like, turn down the channel. Somebody's making out. You know what I mean? Like, and it's just all at once.
We just had a caller who had left a fail moment where she was essentially having that day and then opened the fridge and the entire inside of the fridge door fell apart. And everything.
And it's, that's amazing.
It was pretty amazing. All right, seven years old. When did you go back into stand up? Tell me a little. Tell us a little bit about your comedy life, especially with having a child and the single mom experience. I don't know why I keep calling it that. It's a band, the single mom experience.
Yeah,
and I
right.
keep calling it that. Make some t-shirts that say that.
It's like a solo band.
It's like a solo
me
band.
And my laptop, you know.
It's more of a singer-songwriter type.
Right. That's right.
My daughter just opened my bedroom door. She's like, Mommy, can you do that call in your room so I can watch Disney Channel? And I was like, yeah, fine. And then now she just stuck her face in and she mimed the can I have ice cream lick. Like, what am I supposed to say? Of course you can.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I thought
I
you were going
to
say
she's... listeners to know it's a pomegranate ice pop.
Oh, thank
which,
God.
Yeah.
Is it organic?
It's organic,
it's
right?
It's organic. Of course it's organic.
All
I
right.
live in Park Slope. Are you
All
kidding
right,
me?
Good. Because I was going to have to, you know, wrap things up and, like, judge you. I thought you were going to say that she opened the door and was like, keep it the fuck down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that's what I did well, from she... my 3-year-old. Mama, quiet. Quiet, Mama.
Exactly. She's like, I'm trying to be dignified over here, you asshole.
Oh, that's right. All right, so stand up. So when did you...
So I got back into stand up on day 12 of motherhood.
Yeah, right?
Dang.
That's what I seem to remember. I thought
like at night?
Yeah.
Like at night? Yes. When else do you... Yeah.
Yeah. You know, day 12, I was like, 9 a.m., guys, showtime.
Yeah. It has to be in the morning. That's the only time
guys.
I can do it.
Hey, UCB, you think you could open up at 9 o'clock?
No, and you know what? I didn't plan it or anything like that. You know, it wasn't like I was obsessive about, like, got to get back on stage, you know, the way that these Hollywood moms, like, you know, they're like, okay, the Oscars are in 4 weeks. It wasn't like that, but it would just happen that you probably know of the show Mortified. So this was 7 years ago when Mortified was like really kind of big. And
it's and just real quick, the Mortified show, in case you don't know, it's basically a show where you go on and you share your most mortifying experiences.
Right. Like you know, people read their high school diaries.
Yeah, high school diaries. And, yeah. And, yeah, yeah.
And so I got a call and, you know, they said, oh, somebody dropped out or whatever. Do you want to cover? I know you just had a baby 12 days ago. And I was like, no, it's fine. I'll just cut this umbilical cord and I'll be right over.
Right.
And so I went and did that. And it was, you know, I think, you know, I didn't have another show for like 2 weeks or something. But then pretty much like a month or two in, I was kind of back to a regular several night a week show schedule. And
who was watching that baby? Who was watching that baby? Who was watching that
my
baby?
My husband.
Oh, there was a husband.
The baby. Yeah.
You didn't just find
the
baby. You didn't just, you wasn't in like a miraculous birth or something?
She's not from the Cabbage Patch. No. no, there was a husband. And, you know, so speaking of division of labor, it's interesting because.
You had labor
coming up, and I think I'm going to talk about this on HLN tomorrow or sometime this week. But basically, you know, the mommy wars, it's like forever in the media. And
can we just say what we're talking about when we're talking about the mommy wars? Like, can we just summarize
that?
That's
the thing, I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't even know what it seems to be like. You know, I think it's just another fostered thing to make women judge each other and hate each other and think that they're also failing at the same time. It's sort of like, from what I understand, it's working versus non-working, you know.
It is. I think that's the general, like, starting point. But there's so many things that women could fight over. Breastfeeding or bottle feeding. Mm. Co-sleeping or not.
Right. The vaginal birth, cesarean birth. Right. Just, you know, whatever you can,
Exactly. So it's sort of like, you know, any reason to bring divisiveness into motherhood, you know, which is great.
That's what our goal was with this show.
Well, we're hoping, we're really hoping to ramp it up. That's why I'm going to only refer to single motherhood as single mom experience. I'm already helping the cause. Anyway, so your husband, you have the baby, you have the husband.
So, yeah, one of the aspects of the mommy wars is division of labor and, you know, staying home or not staying home and just sort of your general level of domesticity. Right. And, you know, I always thought was, you know, writing during the day and performing at night, and my ex had a kind of a really good schedule so that we could sort of share childcare duties 50-50.
Yeah.
And that was kind of what I was into, you know. I was really into this progressive idea of, like, neither one of us stays home full-time, neither one of us works full-time. We just do everything together.
Right.
And even though I'm single now, I still think that that's an ideal. Yeah, well, no, now I'm 100% responsible.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what? It's interesting, though, because this is talked about all the time now, and I really think that this is true. Women, you know, we bitch about having to do all the housework and shit like that, but yet we cannot relinquish control.
We didn't talk about this that much today, so maybe we'll talk about it right now, and that is the whole, like, you know, I for myself, I could never tell, was it just that I couldn't, I just had to do it because it was, like, the one element of control that I still had, like, I felt I had in my life, or that I just think Stefan did a shitty job doing it. I don't want him to do it, you know, like.
It's both.
Yeah.
It's both. But what people say is, and I think this is a valid point, if we never, you know, give up the reins and let the men do the shit, they're not going to get better at it.
And that, there was this day, especially, like, not even just the house care, but, like, with child care, because I remember there was this day, like, 8 months in with Katie Bell. And I mean, it's like he could not be alone with her in a room that I wasn't yelling from another room. Like, you know, she likes this. She likes it like the dog. La, 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 la. You know, like a crazy person, which meant that any free time I had was completely filled with stress. And Stefan finally comes over, and it's so rare for him to like say something like, back to me. Yeah. Like, you know, whatever he said, he was like, I'm not going to kill or hurt our baby. I love her just as much as you do. And I was like, what the fuck? I am an asshole. Like, good for you. Good for you. All right. You're right. And then 3 years later, I finally relinquished that control. But like, it's really tricky. Mm-hmm. It's tricky. Well, I mean,
I think the only way to solve it is to just, it's one of those things. It's like you have to do like cognitive behavioral therapy with
yourself. Yeah, with yourself.
Well, because you just
make yourself do it. Like, just make yourself.
We try and
go.
Do it with our kids. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, it's like the whole discipline with your kid. Like, I know it'd be easier for me just to dress my kid, but my kid's got to learn to dress herself.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got to make her do it 30 minutes before we have to go so that I don't put myself in that situation where I rob her of the ability to learn how to do these things on her own. Because, you know, it's a very easy habit to fall into. But for some reason, I don't, you know, like, I don't think we apply it to the other relationships we have. And it's not just your partner. It's parents, in-laws, the grandparents, the aunts, the uncles, like everybody who's trying to have a relationship with your kid and who want to help. What kind of team did you create?
Well, you know, I was married until my daughter was 3.
Okay.
And so those are the really, like, intense, you know, child care filled years in terms of, like, the, you know, sleep deprivation and meeting their every single need and all of that. But, you know, I mean, like, my friend Khalees Hawkins has been a single mother since day one with her daughter, and she's been doing comedy, and she's got a great stand-up career. You know what I mean? So people do it. But, you know, I have to be honest and say, and this is like hopefully me throwing a bone to some of your listeners who, you know, have a baby that's under a year old, and maybe they're either, you know, a performer or whatever career they're in, they worry about falling behind. I think something that I can see clearly in hindsight is that your baby's only a baby once. And not that I feel like I missed out on anything, because I didn't. I was very there. But also, if I had it to do all over again, I don't think I would have pushed myself so hard, because the drive was coming from this insecure place of like, if I drop out for a few months, everybody's going to forget who I am.
Yeah. And that's true of, you're right. It's true of any career. Like, my mom went to law school when I was in first grade, you know, which was old to go and restart law school, you know, but it's such a lesson of the only time limit and is the one that you put on yourself.
Well, that's right. And I try to remind myself and other people when they come to me for this type of advice that, like, when you deny yourself your own humanity by living by other people's rules, you're fucked. What I've learned in life is that when you fight what is happening, you're screwed. If you accept what's happening and you work with it and you own it and you celebrate it, things will go well.
That is so zen.
I love that.
Love that.
Right?
Caroline Castiglia is doing a good job as a mom. Good job. Well, Caroline, thank you so much for being on the show. That was absolutely fantastic, and I hope we can have you on again.
Definitely.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. You always know what's best, because we get just my mom and me, so high, and I can't feel my face.
That was really fun.
I love her.
Yeah, she's great.
I think it's time for a mom breakdown.
Oh, yeah.
Mom breakdown.
Let's just do it.
Let's do it.
Let's
get into somebody losing their mind.
My current rant is about women who either don't respect other women's birth stories or they're just plain freaking crazy. I belong to a Facebook group of women who have recently, in the last like 3 months, all had their babies. And when they start sharing birth stories, they include a whole lot of freaking judgment about what the right kind of birth is and what the wrong kind of birth is, and how their birth is great because of this or their birth is great because of that. And it's really, really pissing me off. The latest thing that's just driven me right up the wall is this particular woman who, I swear to God, just posted on Facebook that she had a vaginal birth, like it was some sort of, you know, magical, amazing thing where the baby just slips right out of your vagina. And she honestly said, because of her amazing vaginal birth, she felt, quote unquote, totally recovered by day three.
What?
And then she added in that she was back to, quote, again, bedroom activities with her husband on day nine.
Day nine.
I am sitting there thinking, okay, one, you are a lying cunt. I don't know if you can say that in your show. You might have to bleep it or something. But anyway, that's what she is. She's lying because that is not possibly true. No one is totally recovered on day three, and no one is having sex on day nine. No. That's just not possible. Even if you could physically have sex on day nine, why on earth would you have sex on day nine? Why? That's insane. I don't even know how you would find 5 minutes away from taking care of your baby to have sex. And why? Why would you? That's totally insane. And then why would you post it to Facebook to a group of other women who have all just had babies in varying manners? Like, this is some sort of freaking badge of honor. That's insane.
Wow.
Wow. That was awesome.
I could taste the rage.
Yeah.
Well, what an amazing, I like that
Thank you for that call.
Yeah, topic of labor, and
I know.
We end on some actual labor pains. That
yeah,
is awful. Well, I think what we learned from Carolyn and from our discussion is that it's different for everybody, and I don't think we're ever going to solve a problem on this show.
No.
We're just going to talk about our problems and hope that they make you feel better, or maybe they'll inspire you to make us feel better. And in terms of just getting through the day and dividing up labor between you and your partner, or by yourself, or with whatever kind of family unit you have, that it's really about finding a balance, being honest, being vocal, and being nice.
Yeah.
Trying to like each other.
Being nice to yourself.
Being nice to yourself, yeah.
Those and around you.
Absolutely.
And just remember that you're doing a great job.
And you're doing a great job.
Bye.
Bye.
I got to low down mama blues. I got to low down mama blues.
We'd like to thank Max Fun, Lindsay Pavlis, our engineer, our husbands Stefan Lawrence and Jesse Thorne, our perfect children who provide us with inspiration to say all these horrible things, and of course, you, our listeners. To find out more about the songs you heard on today's podcast and more about the show, please go to MaximumFun.org. Do you have a genius or fail moment you'd like to share on the show? Then leave us a message at 206-350-9485. Full-on rage-induced rants are also welcome.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.